What you mentioned earlier, Warren, that you moved away from Caltech, and then you said later on you reestablished contact.
Well, yeah, when I turned down their offer to go back, I was really very involved with Texas at the time. I just didn't get back on campus very often. Well, Bruce Sage died, for one thing. I used to go back to see him, so I lost that contact. And then later, I guess it was in the late 60s, I was asked to be on the Board of the Alumni Association, which I accepted. Re-involved again with Caltech. That's increased over the years.
Was that the general alumni or the sort of chemical engineering?
No, this is a full alumni. We don't have separate. We don't have that many alumni. In fact, it wasn't the alumni associates. We have what we call associates at Caltech, and these are not necessarily alumni, they're people that are helping support Caltech financially. And there are about 1,800 members, I guess. And most of them live in Southern California, chapters in these. But we sponsor these trips. I just can't tell you one of them.
You retired in 87, right? You were pretty close to pretty close to 65. I mean, was that what?
Yeah, actually,
what precipitated the retirement?
This was a one of these periods when they were trying to cut down on the number of employees, and they offered me I think half salary for a year if I had retired 6 months early. I said, fine. Cut down on your pension, because your pension is based on the last five years' salary. I gave up 6 months of much better salary than I had to. So I retired 6 months before my offer, which I would probably had to retire, but Neil Richter, I don't know, they just wanted him so much that he didn't mind retiring, I guess, and he said, okay, yeah. He had a good time.
Did you keep up active chemical engineering involvement by other means when you retired or not?
Well, I not except by having meetings with the faculty and I go to occasional lectures. We're supportive of the chemical engineering department over Berkeley and over in Stanford. And so we go up meetings there from time to time. I, outside of trying to read all this stuff, and I can't have a hard time doing it. I swear I've kept up. I did some consulting right after Texaco. again on this business of using CO2 for secondary recovery, tertiary recovery, whatever you want to call it. I had some people in the police department that were, I worked with, and they were able to come up with pretty good numbers about how much oil is really available, and there's no question about it, it would be a great, particularly some of these old fields in Texas where they just open the well up and produce as fast as they can, and they drain all the gas off, and in many cases just flared it. And now they've done anything to move the gas around, move the oil around. CO2 is quite miscible with oil when you get the pressure up in the pores and viscosity, that's the difference. Yeah, move through the formation much faster. And it will hold a lot of CO2. You can recycle it back. So you decide you just want to leave the field and leave it full of CO2. And it's sequestered. So find something to react with underneath the surface. I really think it's got a big potential, but
Time has not yet come.
It's putting $500 million on the line to make it work.
Yeah.
You'd have to build 1,000 megawatt power plant. That would probably cost you. $1,000 a kilowatt. Just to be a $1 billion.
What's you saw the Caltech chemical engineering department in its very early days. What strikes you about the difference between that department then and now?
There's no question. Chemical engineering is changing, period. It's no longer process design. It's process design, but it's designing much different processes. And I think the move has been very beneficial over chemical engineering, where it just kind of died on the vine. Today you still have, back in my time, probably 50% of the class went to work in refining. Mm-hmm. Another 25% in petrochemical business. And a few maybe in producing. But very few into bioengineering, if any. Or things that are like that. Of course, there's a very excellent adoption in generally done, I think, all over the country. Not I can still think of this chemical engineer. Mm-hmm.
What has the last 15 years, I'm sure, have gone by fast enough. what has been your main occupations and preoccupations since retirement?
Well, of course, this house is just maintaining it. It's taken quite a bit of additional time, and I've done a lot of brickwork and things around here is mine. And I've try to enjoy travel a little bit more. My wife and I, we used to go, she used to go with me, but, you know, we didn't, couldn't go to places where I didn't have to go.
Yes.
And, so we've done quite a bit of that, and a lot of that with our associates at Caltech, which of course is good. But say I've tried to keep up by going to the ICHC meetings when they're out here in the West Coast and the ACS meetings out here. I still go to meetings that EPRI has every year on gasification.
Mm-hmm.
We did create a foundation which we manage, and that's a lot of time involved in that.
And that, what, I mean, that, how do you actually do that, as it were? Do you have the accounting side is, you've got quite a bit of tax.
I do all the accounting, except to get, I get a guy to prepare the tax returns.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my three children, and I have a board of directors,
mm-hmm.
and I'm shoving some of it off onto them now, but the key one. It takes time. I mean, I don't know how determine who we want to give how much to.
What are your central hopes for what the foundation may achieve?
Well, I've said my one of our primary goals is for chemical engineering. And we support it now at Stanford. And we started at the University of Santa Barbara, and we got to the University of Caltech. And we also have a lot of supportive education programs, scholarships. And the kids each have a section where they can do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm. Is education science education or education?
Well, education mainly technical. Yes, I support some stuff out of Scripps College, but that's going back to my mother's sister's wishes. But, and churches and a lot of disadvantaged people we try to support.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, we just had 50 different donations last year.
That's a lot.
And have to write a letter with everyone, mm-hmm. and be sure you get all the documentation you need.
Mm-hmm.
It just takes time.
I'm
disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, as I tell everybody, it just takes longer to do everything when you get to be my age. It takes me longer to get dressed, it takes me longer to put something into the computer, it takes me longer to lay a block on the wall outside, it takes me longer to fertilize the garden.
Would you say something about your three children?
Well, they've done very well. I'm very, very proud of them. My oldest son, Mike, he tried to be an engineer, but he thought he would be likely to be an aeronautical engineer. This was back in the time when that was Marine Studies program, which is full of all kinds of opportunities. And he changed his mind. He graduated from USC with a degree in business administration. And he set out doing a few things. First he had a hang glider business that didn't do too well. And then he got involved with a fellow that repaired equipment, mechanical equipment. He was much better at that than he was at chemical engineering or anything else. And the two of them had a business called KMI. Somebody, his partner and Mike, and I don't know what the I was for. Maybe it was incorporated. Anyway, they did contract repairs, all kinds of repairs. And he had a lot of jobs in government companies as well as individual companies. But he got to know a fellow that was running a small vitamin packaging plant. And after his KMI experiences, he went into a business that was making office equipment. There was some well-known business that was already in the second generation, and they hired him to kind of manage the business. The guy that owned it was still active, but just kind of present. And he built shelving, and they did the whole thing. They got the one because he was servicing the equipment for him. He was quite successful. They moved and expanded. He didn't get along very well with him, so he sold his part out and bought this small vitamin plant down in Vista, about halfway down to San Diego. I remember when they got to 4 or 5 years, he grew it a little bit and they cut it up to, doing $1 million a year of business, and that was pretty good. Then they moved and new location, started expanding, building after building, and now he's business is doing $2 or $3 million a month. Got about 15, 20 people working for him. And they don't make, they take vitamins for wholesale distribution. They have a distributor who will label and distribute them for them, or whoever they wholesale them to. If you've been around here, you've probably seen Trader Joe's.
Oh, yeah.
They make all their vitamins.
That's
I think that's 30% of their business. So anyway, he's semi-retired now. He's up in Montana right now. Says he can run his business from up there as well as he can. District. But he still has his hometown in Rubber Linda, in California. my daughter, who lives in Santa Barbara, in Montecito, went to Stanford and graduated with a business music major, music and business. She went to work in Silicon Valley. I think the company of practitioners back in mid-70s, with all the processing and the master charge fives, restricting the program. And so she met her, who's now her husband there. And he was the EE from Washington. And my guess was a classmate of Bill Gates, actually. Anyway, he knows Bill Gates. But that's either here or there. But he had some concepts about data transmission, high-speed data transmission. And so he and my daughter got together, put together a business plan, and tried to market. This was about the time we bought our first house here, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Maybe 81, 82. Yeah, that was kind of a bad time. Interest rates were terribly high.
Oh, yeah.
They had a hard time getting financing. But they eventually got financing and set up 50% of the company. They only owned 15%. But it really boomed. And it was a... They had a high-speed transmission system over telephone lines where they could go by satellite or by microwave as well. But at the time, the transmission speed which you could transmit data was quite limited, and it was limited by the fact that people didn't know how to synchronize the receiving end with the sending end. And I don't understand. I don't know how they do it today. But anyway, he came up with some scheme of doing it, and it increased the speed of transmission by about a factor of 10. Mm-hmm. And everybody wanted it. And after about 3 years, I guess, 4 years, here it is now, so I guess it was 5 or 6 years. So when IBM came out with their OS2 system,
mm-hmm.
and it was completely based on their data transmission system. And IBM thought they could buy them out, but they wouldn't sell. They didn't sell. And so their business just moved by leaps and bounds. At that point, they were offered $180 million for the deal.
Hmm.
They said, no, we don't. But a couple years later, they had to hire a manager that had experience. And the two of them couldn't agree on how to run the business. Roger wanted to do more innovative things, and the manager said, no, we've got a good thing going, let's keep it. So kids showing their shop and retired.
Why?
So they lived in Santa Barbara. Now Norm still lives, he went to Berkeley, and he's had a little more rough experiences. He came out at the beginning of the computer age, and was really very computer. He was a business manager also, Well, certainly got a business, master's in business from Berkeley before they got their business going. He went to Berkeley and went out and got a job with Western Pacific Railroad and kind of brought the computer to them. They didn't know much about it. And taught them how to keep track of their railroad cars and where they were and how they could use them more efficiently. He moved up rapidly. At the point where he was the vice president of the company. 10 years. And that's it. And then Western Pacific sold out to Union Pacific. And he said his job was going to Omaha. Well, you didn't know.
Almost the baddest port out.
Right. So he went over to the SP, Southern Pacific, and he got essentially the same job over there. He was manager of some division of marketing. And he did very well there. He was up to an assistant vice president. And guess what happened? Santa Fe won. And his job moved to Chicago. So he decided to go to Merrill Lynch. He spent a couple of years at Merrill Lynch going through their training program. Learned quite a bit about the stock market. He didn't like the way they did things. And so he quit, and he's been building and selling houses ever since. For the bear. And he's all right. He's got a nice home up on Lake Tahoe now, and as well as home down here. And his latest home is he just moved into one of his homes that he's having trouble selling this last year. Yeah, up in Alamo, it's south of Walnut Creek. And all three of them I'm pretty proud of. Not very dependent on Bob.
No, it sounds like it. Well, that's a remarkable sequence, Warren.
Well, I don't know how it's going to look when we get it down and write it. I may have said things I don't want to keep quite public, but
yes.
I don't think I should talk about that CO2 label thing. One paper.
Well, thank you.
Well, I don't know. Now, maybe you'll have some more thoughts tomorrow or Friday. We'll come back and spend some more time. We'll be here. And we'll have our bridesmaid here tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah. No, I think we may have.
It kind of went faster than I thought it would.
Yes.
We're never going to get done with what we're doing.
Well,
you were kind of egging me on in the past. But I think it's kind of looking back on it, it's kind of a mixture of making the right decisions at the right time and kind of unknowingly. And being at the right place at the right time.
Having a little
good fortune.
Having a little talent is helpful,
well,
too.
I don't know. Okay. I realize now one of my problems is this dyslexia. Nobody even talked about it or heard about it, I guess, back at that time. My ability to read and at really high speeds, it's not very good even now. Read things like something. I know some people at Caltech, you could give them a page like that and they could read their word and listen to this, and they could almost repeat it verbatim.
Well, instead, you made a major contribution.
There's some logic up here somehow.
You made a major contribution to the development of chemical technology.
So it's certainly an interesting version of chemical technology, in a way. I have a lot of other people that work very hard with me. You had a real nice group of people.
The United States has been a good place to be in the 20th century. The Western United States has been a very good place to be. Chemical engineering has been a very good place to be.
Yeah, all those things are very, very fortunate. Mm-hmm. Decisions, and some of which I had control over, and some of them didn't. But I certainly enjoyed my chances to visit and got to get to know people in other parts of the world. And, you know, I'd go over to Russia and spend a week there. And it was very nice to see other people did things. And I was going down in the coal mines, the German coal mines. Mm-hmm. 4,000 feet by 16 feet. The temperature is 117 down the mountain Grand Canyon. You know, it gets hotter. Yeah, but the water is cold. That water comes out of the Grand Canyon Dam at 46 degrees. They take the turbines take their feed from the bottom, of course. If they had done a good job of getting a hydrostatic energy out of it, it's about the same
temperature. Okay, well, we'll stop there. Thank you.
Well, okay.